All right. We are in the Great Controversy, of course. We're on page 561, if you have the book. That's the real one. And it says, we're on the very first paragraph of the page, the very first whole paragraph, because the other one is dangling from the previous page. So we're bypassing that, because we already did it last week. Okay, and she says, marvelous beyond expression is the blindness of the people of this generation. Boy, if she had been alive today, she might have put a couple exclamation points at the end of that sentence, but she goes on, thousands reject the word of God as unworthy of belief, and with eager confidence receive the deceptions of Satan. And, you know, and a good way to see that, because I've seen this happen on the street, I kid you not, someone will say something in like the Star. And the Star, I'm not talking about the Star from, I think it's from Boston. I'm talking about the tabloid, the Star. I can't remember what that one's. It's ridiculous. They talk about aliens and all this other stuff on there. They put the craziest headlines they could put on the front page of the Star newspaper, knowing it's going to be in the aisle of the shopping center. And you'll read it and possibly grab it, because you got to be kidding me. This guy was born with four heads, and so I think you're going to pick it up and start reading. You might buy it, right? National Enquirer. Thank you, Mike. That's what it was. You're right. National Enquirer. The Star was... There also was a Star that came out with the National Enquirer back in the 70s, but that went by the wayside, and then there's actually a Star, the STAR newspaper, that actually is legit. When I first saw that online, I thought, oh, wow, are you kidding me? And then I found out, okay, it's not the same one that I knew about in the Chicago area. Because there was this rag in the Chicago area that they called the Star. Anyway, some people will believe anything that they see in a newspaper. They'll believe anything that they hear a news, like a television reporter say, as gospel truth. It's concrete evidence that, you know, to them, that's it. That they believe it hook, line, and sinker. But Scripture, they won't believe. Well, that's amazing, especially in today's world, when all the prophecies of the end times are happening all around them. I mean, we've got overwhelming evidence that leads up to this generation, as well as two or three generations beforehand, where it really started kicking it up, and yet people still don't believe it. And this is why I like to concentrate my ministry on you know, the prophetic end of things, because it always worked for me on the street, and it's working for, you know, for me online. And I say working for me, in other words, I have a burden for people that don't realize what time it is, and that's just the way I've always been. And especially after I left the Catholic Church, because I thought, wow, I'm dumb as a bag of rocks for being in this church, especially for the last two or three years where I was devout, saying the rosary every day, going to Mass every morning. It was a Eucharistic minister. I taught Catholic doctrine. Until all of a sudden, and the Lord knew exactly what he was doing here, obviously, because he got someone to upset me who had a Bible in their hands, and that worked with me. Just like whatever he got, whatever he used that worked with you, got you to open up a Bible. What I got was, I got sick and tired of hearing people tell me I was going to hell because I was Roman Catholic. Every time they said that, they had a Bible in their hands. So I figured, well, look, I can read, so I'm going to open up a Bible and prove them wrong. Well, in about 18 months, I found out they were telling me the truth, and I got out. But I praise God for the fact that it was truth to me. And the neat thing here was, is the way it worked out even before I started reading the Bible. And I'm, of course, talking about the black filing cabinet in my basement right now. There's two of them down there, actually. One of them holds all my praise lists. I used to actually do like a diary daily. Now I just do it on my computer. And the other one holds articles from the 1970s and the 1980s and the 1990s, newspaper articles, magazine articles, everything, that every time I ran across something that was showing that the Roman Catholic Church was evil. And I was doing that as a Roman Catholic. So that when I finally stepped out of the well, when I finally opened up a Bible, the Lord kept reminding me of those articles I had read. He says, wow, that's right. Or the microfiche they called it, I called it microfilm. I don't know why they were calling it microfiche over in Oaklawn Public Library, but I called it microfilm. Because I used to like reading newspapers from the 1800s. I don't know why. Well, I know not why, but back then I just thought that was amazing. You know, because like when I was a little kid, I used to talk to old men. I wanted to know what life was like before I got here. So I used to know what to look out for tomorrow kind of a thing, I guess. But it just enticed me. And it wasn't because I was into history or nothing like that. It was very interesting to me to see what life was like. I could care less about what nation did what and, you know, or the politics of it all. I could care less, and I still can't stand politics. But the only reason I expose it as much as I do is because it's just so bone evil today. It amazes me, though, how people can believe what they read in newspapers, and the newspapers have been caught lying left and right, especially in today's world, because if it makes money, like with the TV, the drive-by media, as some talk show hosts like to call it, the drive-by media has a tendency to, they're only going to report on what they can benefit from. It's all scripted, all of it. And some of you have seen some of these videos, I'm sure, and I think it's just so comical. And once in a while, I'll throw them on the website where they'll have, and this is on across the board, every single solitary newscast will have the exact same story. And it's not that big of a deal either. But it's enough to where the people are more interested. In other words, they're trying to keep their eyes on what they want them to keep their eyes on so as to not see what the politicians are doing behind closed doors kind of a thing. They sneak laws and stuff like that under while we're busy hearing what some movie starlet did, right? But it was amazing how they all were, you know, because they all read teleprompters, and they I guess they just have somebody that sends out this one script and they all read it. And people believe it. But the Bible, that is absolute truth. The only truth you find on planet Earth, they don't believe it. And what really shocks me is how some children in the households of our church family, mine included, some of our own children, don't believe the way their parents do. Of all people that you could trust, think about this, of all people that you could trust on this planet, your parents have got to be right up there, ranked up there in the number one or two spot, unless, of course, you're from an extremely dysfunctional family. But think about that. And especially if your parents are street preachers or pastors or whatever the case may be. Explain that when the eastern sky splits. If you decide to go to hell, how do you explain that to the Lord when he asks you? Well, he's not going to, there's no St. Peter with a gate and all that stuff, of course, we know. But the thought would be there as to how do you explain the mercy and the love of your God to go so far as to have you born in a family where your parents were Christians and had the absolute truth. She goes on to say that skeptics and scoffers denounce the bigotry of those who contend for the faith of prophets and apostles, and they divert themselves by holding up to ridicule the solemn declarations of the Scripture concerning Christ and the plan of salvation and the retribution to be visited upon the rejecters of the truth. In other words, all a bunch of fall draw. Everybody gets to go to heaven. That's today's theology, by the way. God wouldn't possibly send anyone. He's a loving God. Well, yeah, he is. Don't take him out of context, though. Don't take him out of context. But they all do that. And that's why you got every sin embraced. Mostly every sin today is being embraced by pastors. And their church families know it and have no problem with it. She says, they affect great pity for the minds, or for minds so narrow. I'm sorry, they affect great pity for minds so narrow, weak, and superstitious as to acknowledge the claims of God and obey the requirements of his law. They manifest as much assurance as if, indeed, they had made a covenant with death and an agreement with hell. As if they had erected an impassable and impenetrable barrier between themselves and the vengeance of God. Nothing can arouse their fears. Kind of reminds me of the one guy I used to hang with when I was a teenager, standing up on the edge of the boat in the middle of a, we were out fishing, in the middle of a very violent lightning storm, and he picks up his graphite pole and declares onto the heavens, "Oh, strike me dead if there is a God." I says, "Dude, you know, I'm right here next to you. I don't want that bolt flying through me either." You know. But obviously the Lord didn't do it because he's merciful. But that's how idiotic some people can get. Some of the guys I used to hang with, he used to say, "Oh, I drive by a church and I start getting the shakes." "Oh, does that make you cool?" And he thought it did make him cool. Make him look cool, anyway. Bad has always been popular. I mean, today, it makes money. She says, "So fully have they yielded to the tempter, so closely are they united with him, and so thoroughly imbued with his spirit, that they have no power and no inclination to break away from his snare." So, that being said, when you think about these people in the world that are lost, and not just the lost, I'm talking about the people with power that are trying their best to corral, persecute, and destroy the Christians, why would you be worried about them? First of all, is there not a God in Israel? And are we not Israel, according to Scripture? And since there is a God in Israel, is it not written in His Scriptures that no weapon formed against thee shall prosper? I mean, even if they do kill you, you're going to get up again. You know, they can't kill your soul. But still, if you have a work to do, they can't kill your body either. Your Lord will protect you. Many of us have some amazing testimonies in that area alone. Where one minute it should have been certain death, the next minute, not a scratch. Because he needs you to do the work. Remember when Jesus was going to get stoned, how he just walked through the crowd as if he was invisible? Some of us have seen that too. She says, Satan has long been preparing for his final effort to deceive the world, 6,000 years in fact. She says, the foundation of his work was laid by the assurance given to Eve in Eden. Ye shall not surely die, and I've been saying that for decades. Satan has been using that lie for 6,000 years. It's amazing how, and it always boggled. I was just thinking about this the other day because I'm in Genesis 4. But Eve should not have wandered away from Adam. We all know that. She shouldn't even had any conversation whatsoever with the serpent because she knew he was a problem. But when he said, "In the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you should be as gods, knowing good and evil." You know, when he said that after saying, "Ye shall not surely die." In other words, when he called her creator a liar, that would have been all she wrote had she had any kind of inkling. But still, lying is lying. I remember the first time I realized the invasiveness or the burglarization of a liar. And I say burglarization is because it's like being burglarized. I trusted that person, and they lied to me. They just simply lied. In other words, they said something to me, I believed it, and ran with it. And found out later they were lying. And it caused me problems because I trusted them, and they were liars. So obviously Eve never dealt with lies before, so you can't really blame her that much. But the thing is, she did walk away from Adam. And Adam wasn't doing his job either. Should have been saying, "Honey, you know, let's work together on this." She goes on to say that little by little he has prepared the way for his masterpiece of deception in the development of spiritualism. And this is why you saw the Vatican uplift Harry Potter a few years ago and call Harry Potter a Christ-like figure and good, wholesome family entertainment. That prophecy had to be fulfilled. And it was that way it was sparked towards that end. She says, he has not yet reached the full accomplishment of his designs, but it will be reached in the last remnant of time. And by the way, and I don't suggest going to watch any of these videos, but there's magicians out there. And then there's magicians. There's illusionists, and then there's magicians. There's a big difference between the two. One guy's just manipulating things using mirrors or whatever the case may be, or even messing around with a camera and, you know, editing it and making it look like he's doing things when he's not. But then there's these demonic apparition-type magicians that are doing things that Simon Magus might be proud of. And that's happening right now. And they're doing this on the streets. Because there's people throwing these videos up on YouTube left and right about these guys and girls. Well, I don't know if there's any girls doing it, but I just come across them with my research, because every now and then you look at this article, that article, and all of a sudden something pops up in regards to this. Because, you know, I like the news sites. And so, yeah. What's going on here? Because the headline says one thing, and you go there and it's something else. And that's another thing I don't like, by the way. You go looking for something, and you're searching online, and you put in some sentence, and you type it in, and a website has that sentence, and you click it, and it ain't what you expected in a big way. So you get off of there as quick as you can. But still, sometimes the damage can be done if you have a problem in that area. So be careful. But still, it's going to be reached in the last remnant of time, and we see this happening now. The spiritualism thing. Remember that John Edwards guy who was talking to these dead so-called people when they were just demons relaying information about the people that were killed and, say, September 11th, or killed here or killed there or whatever? He had an uncanny ability to tell people things that no one else knew, but he really didn't have any abilities. Part of it was charlatan activity, like a snake oil kind of a guy, but the other part of it was his spirit guide. And many use that today, too. These demons are going to relay the message to whoever they need to relay the message to make this stuff go down. In Ellen White's day, it started off with just the rapping, like a knocking. Today, they're talking. They're showing up. They're just manifesting in front of people. It's getting bad. I mean, it's already gotten bad. And then she goes on to say that it says the prophet, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs, and they are spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. That's Revelation 16, verses 13 and 14, of course. And then she says, except those who are kept by the power of God through faith in His Word, the whole world will be swept into the ranks of this delusion. Let me reread that, especially for you young ones in the faith, that is. Except those who are kept by the power of God through faith in His Word, because faith cometh by hearing by the Word of God, right? The only way you're going to get faith is to keep reading that Bible. Sure, you may not understand it, hook, line, and sinker, everywhere you need to hook it. I mean, understand it. But you're going to, you know, the seeds are going to be planted. John 14:26 says He's going to bring all things to your remembrance, whatever He said unto you. And so if you've read it, it'll show up when you need it. When you need to understand it, so when the devil throws a little dart at you, a verse will come to mind, and you'll walk the walk you need to walk to get away from that problem. But you've got to read the Word. She says, except those who are kept by the power of God through faith in His Word. And I shouldn't use hook, line, and sinker in that regard, because we're willfully embracing the Scripture as our anchor. It's not a hook that's being yanked on us. But although sometimes we do get spanked, because we should be holding on to the anchor. So, the whole world, she says, will be swept into the ranks of this delusion. Except, of course, those who have faith in His Word. It's the only way we're going to make it through this. The only way we're going to make it through this, and that's His Word. It's the only way that we can possibly make it through this. That's why you got to stay in it daily, daily, daily. Even if you're not understanding it right off, don't worry. Just stay in it. He's watching you. He's watching how you're trying your best to understand it, and He's going to bless your faith because of it, even though you don't get it sometimes. I've been reading it 30 years, and there's still areas of that Bible I can't get at all. I can understand why in eternity we're going to go deeper into it to figure, because, okay, you were definitely talking between the lines there, weren't you, Lord? When you get up there, and He starts explaining to you things, that because there's a lot of prophetic symbolism all throughout the Scripture. And that's one of the reasons I did that study years ago in regards to Revelation. Because I know when I'm reading in, like, Isaiah or somewhere, or even in Psalms, when you see words like horse or chariot or oil, anything, you know, you not only get the literal meaning of it, you go, wow, look at the circle truth on this where it prophetically matches what's being said here at the same time. There's a lot more in that Bible than people realize. It's one thing to understand the language that's being written. It's another thing to understand the definitions of the words in that language that is being written. The prophetic definitions, that is. It makes it that much easier to understand what's going to happen tomorrow. Even though 9 times out of 10, thanks to John 14:29, you ain't going to understand it until the event happens. That's one of those need-to-know things. And some people say, oh, I wish I would have known that beforehand. Why? So you can stand up and act like you're a prophet? See, that's one of the reasons he doesn't give it to some of us. Because we're out to seek self-glorification. We're out for selfish reasons. You're never going to walk on water. You're never going to raise the dead. You're never even going to fly without wings, or with them, for that matter, until you get to the point where you realize it's about Christ. He is the Word made flesh. So no matter what happens to you in life, let's say you have the wisdom, you even surpass the wisdom of Solomon, because I pray for that. Well, wait a second, it says no one has ever had the wisdom of Solomon's. Yeah, no one has. No one's ever had that, you know, that position or that pinnacle of wisdom as Solomon. But are there people that can have more than him? Because I know how my father doesn't mince his words in the scriptures. So he could literally say, okay, no one's gotten to this stage of wisdom other than Solomon. But then all of a sudden you or I come along, but they superseded him. They had more wisdom. No one's ever gotten to the point that Solomon did up until that time, let's say. You know, Elijah asked Elijah for a double portion. Well, I'd kind of like quadruple. Is there sin in asking for that? No. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He can do whatever he wants. In respect to any prayer you pray. She says here that the people are fast being lulled to a fatal security, to be awakened only by the outpouring of the wrath of God. And that's what's going to happen when that eastern sky splits and that final plague starts falling. And this, of course, only relates for those of us that are part of the Gideon Band. They're going to see it firsthand. They're going to see the rainbows and all that other good stuff. Yeah, and that's another thing, too. I can understand why the Lord puts that rainbow up at that time, too, because they've been waving that flag ever since. You know, but the thing here is, none of the people see this. Even Christians don't see this, because think about that. And this is what also kind of like gets me a little upset at times with the churches, and especially the hirelings they call pastors. Why is it you guys keep preaching the 7-year trib thing when it's already been proven time and time again that not only are you wrong, because you took a chronological statement about the week of Daniel and removed it from a time prophecy with dates before and after it and placed it at the end of the world. But because nobody hardly reads Bibles anyway, no one caught it. Well, except for the people that study prophecy and teach it and preach it and also read Bibles. So, but that's not even the gist of it. And I loved that this started happening, and I still haven't made the video about this yet. And one of these days, maybe I will. And it's going to be a short one. It doesn't have to take much. I mean, seriously, just get a hold of some of these Baptist preachers, some of their sermons, or better yet, a Pentecostal. I mean, because they more or less wrote the book on this, because Pentecostalism was more or less the father, child, or whatever of Catholicism. And this is why Copeland did what he did. And now all the Pentecostals claim to be Roman Catholics now. But they were obviously one of the... They're going to jump right on the bandwagon with them. But I want to make a short video about... You remember years ago they had this thing called... they did Left Behind series, that movie, which is just all... man's opinion. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 was nowhere in their mindset. They have all sorts of private opinion defining those prophetic events, and none of them are right. None of them. I mean, fire comes out of their mouths. So guess what? In the video, fire comes out of some guy's mouths because they're called the two witnesses. They have no idea that those two witnesses are the Old and New Testament because they don't study Bibles. They don't have no idea what the fire means either because they don't study Bibles. So anyway, you got that Left Behind series that goes out there. And you got all these prophetic events that are supposed to happen after the seven-year trib begins. Or the three-and-a-half-year trib. Still got some of those guys out there. Their numbers are gradually disappearing. But then so are the seven-year tribbers. Because I think there's like 10 or 15 things that they say are supposed to happen after the secret rapture, right? There's about 10 or 15 things that happen during a seven-year trib that are supposed to happen after everybody leaves. And this is why I wrote that book called The Rapture with a question mark. Or was it called The Secret Rapture with a question mark? I can't remember. It's on a website. I go through every Bible verse that talks about, Old and New Testament Bible verse that talks about what happens at the second coming, right? And of course, a large portion of those verses are never found on the pulpits that preach Secret Rapture or seven-year trib, because if they use them, their congregation say, hey, Pastor, you're a liar then. Because the Bible said this, and you just said that. But let's put that on the back burner for now. Out of the 10 or 15 things that they say are supposed to happen after the secret rapture occurs, five of them, or six of them, have already happened. That's why the three-and-a-half-year tribbers are slowly disappearing, and the seven tribbers are slowly but surely not preaching it anymore. Or when they do, they're very vague about it, and they don't mention those prophetic events that they used to say will happen after we leave, because they already happened. False prophets are abounding now. I mean, they're everywhere now. I mean, they have written books. Look at Hal Lindsey declaring, in 1995, the homosexual community is going to be gone, destroyed by fire. Benny Hinn said it too. Whoops. But yet, he's still called a prophet to this day, even though the Bible says if they're wrong, they're false prophets, right? But this man, in print, is wrong, but they still call him a prophet. Or look at Jean Dixon. Jean Dixon, because she somehow came up with a very vague statement that kind of looked like some official in high office might get assassinated. Well, yeah, they do that every year. They make all like 500 predictions, and if 10 come true, oh, they're a prophet. And they really glorified Jean Dixon because she was 20% correct. Oh, no, 18% correct. She was 18. You know, mom and dad, you know, with their little, what do you call them? Like, not manifestations. Some parents are like, premonitions, yeah. Mom's got these premonitions. Dad's got these premonitions. Or my Aunt Mabel, she had these premonitions all the time. She's, and they're usually like, what, 8-9%? And then you got people that claim to be psychics. Ooh, they're a whopping 12% accurate. But Jean Dixon, oh, are you sitting down? 18% correct. And they kept talking about that left and right, left. No one seemed to notice that she's 82% wrong. If you're 18% correct, that means you're 82% wrong. It's not that hard. I mean, it's just math. But yeah, she's a prophet. That's today's world. Everything's backwards. Killing your babies, that's good. Telling people don't kill your babies, oh, that's bad. You shouldn't be saying that. And it just goes on from there. She finishes by saying, saith the Lord God, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. And the waters shall overflow the hiding place. In other words, it's going to be clear as a bell, like it says in Romans. They are without excuse. All the self-deception's gone. Now they finally realize that those people that they're wanting to kill, the Gideon band, and for those of you that are new, the 144,000 that they wanted to kill a few moments ago, they drop all their weapons and they're dropping on their knees to worship us if we're in that number. But we don't even notice. Why? Well, we're watching the people come out of the graves that we're about to meet in a moment. And we're seeing the Lord in His glory. We're looking up through the little glistening rainbow above our heads. Each one of our heads. and they're at our feet worshiping because they have been conditioned to worship mankind. Look at the celebrityhood thing. People worship celebrities. People worship rock stars that bite the heads of bats off on stage. Okay? That's today's world. And finishing Isaiah 28, verses 17 and 18, it says, "And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it." And that is the end of chapter 34. I hope and pray you were blessed. Beginning on, let's finish in prayer. My hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us on this Sabbath day with the changing of the showbread, and we pray you continue this blessing all throughout the day. And for those of us who are on the Western Hemisphere, we pray that you keep us safe as we sleep, and those on the other side of the world, we pray that you bless them in their Sabbath day. And give us a good sleep, and so that when we come up tomorrow, we'll be able to gather and worship and study and just be with you for our Sabbath service. Thank you again for blessing us with your presence throughout the service tonight and blessing everyone here with answer to the prayers. Even if the answer is no, Father, because we know we want to please you. It's not about us. It's about you, your Son, and your Spirit. And so thank you for blessing us where we need to be blessed so we can go forward and do the work you prophesied your people will do in these last days. And we so much want to be those people. We strive on to that perfection. And so please bless us with the latter rain. Let it fall more abundantly as you promised. And let us see the seeds watered that we have planted. And let us see the seeds watered that have been planted in us. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior, King, and Commander in this holy war. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Creator of all things. Amen and amen and amen.